We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit on Wednesday nights in here. Amen. Man, we're just about through. We've got one more lesson after tonight. This is lesson number 8. We're talking about the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Tonight we're going to be talking about the gift of tongues. Now, tongues is a supernatural prayer language. If you've never heard of tongues before, if this is all brand new to you, speaking in other tongues is a biblical gift that's given to the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby an individual can pray in a language that they've never prayed before, a language that even though you're praying in it, you most of the time you won't understand what it is you're praying, but God always understands what you're praying. We're going to see that as we go tonight. Amen? We are now on the utterance gifts. We've covered the power gifts. Amen? That was good. Amen? The power gifts are good. The working of miracles, the gift of faith, and the gifts of healings. Amen? We've covered the revelation gifts, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. Hallelujah. If you weren't here, we've recorded all of these messages. Amen. We'll get them to you somehow. Amen. We are now on the third and final grouping of gifts called the utterance gifts. They're called the utterance gifts because they say something. The power gifts are called the power gifts because they do something. The revelation gifts are called the revelation gifts because they reveal something. And the utterance gifts are called the utterance gifts because they say something. And the last time we were together in this particular session concerning the gifts of the Spirit, we had lesson number 1 of the utterance gifts, and we covered the gift of
prophecy.
Prophecy is very simply inspired utterance in a known tongue. And there's 2 kinds of prophecy. One is simply for the exhortation, edification, and exhortation of the body. And the other kind of prophecy has prediction or revelation, whereby an individual is able to predict something that's coming in the future. So there's 2 kinds of prophecy. One is revelatory, one is not revelatory. One is simply to edify a human being. The other kind is to give direction concerning the future. There's 2 kinds. Amen? You're going to have to go back and hear that message if you weren't here for that. Amen? Or if you want, see me. I'll give you a copy of my printed notes, and you go back and study it for yourself. Tonight, we're going to be talking about the gift of tongues. There are 3 utterance gifts. There are 3 utterance gifts. One is called the gift of prophecy. The second is called the gift of tongues. We're going to cover that tonight. And finally, our closing lesson will be on the interpretation of tongues. And we'll cover that next Wednesday when we come together, the interpretation of tongues. I asked you to go to Acts chapter 2. Put your finger there and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't want to stop this lesson tonight without reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, if you don't understand what's being talked about here tonight, just hold steady. Amen. You'll understand some of it, and you'll understand more as time goes by. Amen. The more you spend time with us, the more you'll understand what we're talking about from the Bible. Amen? Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit has a supernatural way of getting things over to people, even if this is all brand spanking new to you. Amen? The Holy Ghost will talk to you somehow about something related to this in your life, even if you've never heard of speaking in other tongues. Amen? Some people have never heard of speaking in other tongues. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to give a definition, but first I want to go to 1 Corinthians 12, 1. We're going to move quickly here again tonight. Verse 1, now concerning spiritual gifts. You'll notice the word gifts is italicized, probably in your Bible, if you have a Kenneth Copeland Bible. If you don't have a Kenneth Copeland Bible, you're out of the will of God. You need to get one. Amen. Hallelujah. Now concerning spiritual gifts, it actually says concerning spirituals, or concerning charisma. Amen. Concerning spirituals, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. The translators put gifts in there, but that's okay. Amen. Paul actually said, now concerning spirituals, brethren, referring to what we call the gifts of the Spirit, I would not have you ignorant. Jump down to verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different types of gifts. There's 9 of them. There are differences of administrations, different ways that they operate, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. Same Holy Spirit works His gifts through each one of us individually. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. That just simply means the gifts of the Spirit are all about edifying the whole body, not just the people who operate in the gifts. Did you see that? You understand that? It ain't just about you, honey. if you operate in strong spiritual gifts. Amen? Some people think that's special because they have stronger manifestations of gifts of the Spirit than other people. And they're just ignorant and immature, like the Corinthians, which is why Paul wrote this letter to the Corinthians, because there are a bunch of babies operating in strong spiritual gifts, and they thought it made them special. And Paul was teaching them, hey, you aren't special. These gifts aren't about you. They're about the body. Amen? Hallelujah. So we can receive the same word of correction too. Amen? Before we get off track. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one of us to profit the whole body, not just to profit me or to profit you. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healings, plural, by the same Spirit. That's a mistranslation. To another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. We've covered all those. To another, divers kinds of tongues. We're going to cover that tonight, briefly. To another, the interpretation of tongues. We'll cover that the next time we come together in our closing lesson. But all these work at the one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts of the Spirit according to His will. The Father has shown the Holy Spirit who's to get what gift, and the Holy Spirit distributes the gifts to each one of us and causes them to work through us. Amen. We cannot operate these gifts independent of the Holy Spirit. These are all supernatural gifts. None of them are natural. If one of them is supernatural, they're all supernatural. These are all supernatural manifestations of God. Amen. You know all that. I'm just kind of reviewing some things. Amen. We're going to talk about the gift of tongues. Amen. There's a lot of confusion and even ridicule concerning this precious gift of the Holy Spirit. It shouldn't be so. This gift is clearly outlined in the Bible. This gift is clearly outlined in the Bible. Think about this. There's only one subject in all of Scripture that has one chapter devoted entirely to it and nothing else. And it's the gift of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 1 through 40. Every single verse in that chapter is about tongues and interpretation. The proper use of tongues and interpretation in your private life and corporately when we come together. It's the only chapter in all of Scripture that devotes so much to one subject. If it's that important to God, it should be that important to us. Amen? If it was that important to the Apostle Paul, he said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, he said, I thank my God, I pray in tongues more than ye all. To the entire Corinthian church he was speaking, he said, I pray in tongues more than all of you. If it was that important to Paul to pray in other tongues every day, it should be that important to us to pray in tongues at least a little bit every day. We're going to see why as we move along here. Amen? It's a very, very important subject. It's very important to Holy God, and nobody should ever oppose it for any reason. A lot of Christian people do oppose it. They don't realize that by opposing this precious gift, they're opposing Creator God. This is His idea. This is His gift. Amen? This is something He brought about. Let me give you the definition for the gift of tongues. You can put it in your notes. I know you're taking notes. You've been doing so all along. You do good like that. Amen. Good students take notes. Amen. The gift of tongues is a supernatural utterance inspired by God and spoken in an unknown heavenly language. A supernatural utterance inspired by God and spoken in an unknown heavenly language. I'm going to give you a minute to write that down. At least a language that's unknown to the speaker. I'm going to say it to you one more time so that you get it. Amen? The gift of tongues is a supernatural utterance inspired by God and spoken in an unknown heavenly language. Or at least a language that is unknown to the speaker. Amen? Now, some have been known to speak earthly languages that they've never spoken before, that they've never been trained in. But speaking in an unknown heavenly language is most often the case. Did you get that? Some people have been able, through the baptism with the Holy Spirit, have been able to speak in other earthly languages that they've not been trained in, supernaturally. Supernaturally. But usually, it's a heavenly language that we receive when we're baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's a language unknown to anybody else on earth. It's a language only known by the Spirit of God, known to the Spirit of God Himself. Broke siki perando That's tongues right there. Amen? And we're not ashamed of it. Amen? It's a precious gift of God. Amen? There's more instruction concerning the use and the misuse of tongues and interpretation in the Bible than there is concerning any of the other gifts, because these are the gifts that we can turn on and off at will, particularly tongues. Tongues. Praying and speaking in other tongues. Paul gives explicit instruction in the use and misuse of speaking in other tongues and interpreting tongues throughout the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians, because it's the only gift that we can turn on and off at will. You cannot pray in tongues until you are initially baptized with the Holy Spirit supernaturally by the Holy Spirit, by the agency of the Holy Spirit. The first time you speak in tongues, you can't do it on your own. You need His help. But from that point on, you're able to do it on your own from that point on once you receive that gift. Does that make sense to you? The first time you do it, it takes His help. You can't do that alone. He needs to baptize you with His Spirit and gift you with the ability to speak in tongues the first time. But after that, you can do it on your own. And it's the most abused. Tongues and interpretation and prophecy, the utterance gifts are the most abused of all the gifts, because they're the ones that our flaky selves can use at will. Amen? It's real easy to try to make yourself look spiritual by going around and giving tongues and interpretations and prophecy to people to make yourself look used of God. And all you're doing is hurting yourself and hurting other people, if that's what you do. I know nobody in here has that problem, but it's a common problem. It's commonplace. And it was in Paul's day, it is today. People saying and doing nutty things through tongues and interpretation and prophecy, calling themselves prophets, just because they speak in tongues and get an occasional interpretation. Amen? There needs to be a balance. And again, just like in Paul's day, they're as abused today as they are, as they were in Paul's day, which is what motivated the Holy Spirit to move on Paul to write 40 verses of Scripture, one entire chapter devoted exclusively to the use and misuse of tongues and interpretation. Amen? Now, hallelujah. This is a gift that came into earth, the earth on the day of Pentecost. You're there in Acts chapter 2. We're finally going to get there. Amen? Aren't you glad I give you at least 20 minutes head start to get over to a verse of Scripture before we use it so you don't get lost? Amen? I do it because I care. Amen? Acts chapter 2. By the way, the word Pentecost means 50, if you don't know that. We're going to read here about the day of Pentecost. This gift of tongues and interpretation, baptism with the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's always been here. Some people have taken Acts chapter 2 to teach that this is when the Holy Spirit came into the earth. This is not when He came into the earth. He's always been here. Genesis 1:1, He's been here since creation. He was part of creation. He never left. Amen? People have been being filled with the Holy Spirit for centuries before the baptism with the Holy Spirit. They've been filled but not baptized. There's a difference. We'll talk about it another time. Amen? This is not the coming of the Holy Spirit into the earth, which we're about to read. This is the baptism with the Holy Spirit in the lives of human beings, which we're about to read. Amen? On the day of Pentecost, this is 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. When the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Aren't you glad you're here tonight? Aren't you glad you're here tonight? Hallelujah. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. They were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. 120 people in this room, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, who was 49 years old at this point. Amen? Jesus' mother Mary spoke in other tongues. You find that in Acts chapter 1, 14 and 15, if you want to go read it later, not now. Amen? There appeared unto them cloven or split tongues like a fire, and sat upon each one of them. Amen. Now, they were enveloped in a flame, each one of them. This is not talking about little matchstick flames. This is not, you know, the little Kingsford charcoal briquettes man on TV. You know, he's made out of a little paper match, and they fold up his arms and his legs, and his head's the striker, and he strikes his head on the thing, and his head bursts into flames, and he runs around lighting the little charcoal briquettes. That's not what that's talking about. These people were engulfed in flame. The flame that clove in us split over each one of their heads. There was a mighty explosion that was heard throughout the land that caused people to come running from miles away into Jerusalem. It sounded like an oil refinery had exploded. And they came and they found 120 people speaking in languages that they had never spoken. People coming from different countries, hearing Jews speaking in their own languages from different countries, Medes and Persians, and others speaking in unknown tongues. And they're enveloped, literally enveloped in flames, a flame of fire. Can you picture it? So get the little kinks for charcoal men out of your mind. Amen? These people were enveloped in flame. Amen? And they were filled with the Holy Ghost in verse 4. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now this was prophesied by Jesus years before this happened, that this was going to happen. This was prophesied by... Go to Isaiah chapter 28 if you would real quick. This experience was prophesied by Isaiah, the prophet, 800 years before it happened. He prophesied that this was going to happen, this experience of the baptism with the Holy Spirit as evidenced by the speaking with other tongues. Isaiah chapter 28. Jesus prophesied it. Remember when Jesus was leaving the earth? You're going to Isaiah chapter 28. I know that, but other scriptures come to me too. Mark chapter 16, 17. One of the last things that Jesus told his disciples just before he ascended, he said, lay hands on the sick. They'll recover, cast out unclean spirits, and speak in other tongues. Didn't he tell them that as he was leaving? It's one of the last things he told them to do. Heal the sick, cast out unclean spirits, get folks baptized with the Holy Spirit, and encourage them to speak in other tongues, just like you'll speak in other tongues. He was gone 50 days later, this experience occurred. Amen? Isaiah the prophet said it was going to happen. Right over here, and just like Joel did. Joel also did, if you want to put that in your notes, in Joel chapter 2, 28 through 32. We're not going to turn over there now. You just put that in your notes. You'll see Joel prophesied this experience that you've all experienced, even as Isaiah did in Isaiah chapter 28. Let's look right here. We'll just look at it in part for time's sake. In verse 11, for with stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to this people. And this, he said, is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Did I skip around there too much for you? I'm going to read it again. With stammering lips in another tongue will he speak to this people. He's prophesying. All scholars agree. He's prophesying the coming baptism with the Holy Spirit, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest. Great refreshing comes when we pray in spirit, in the Spirit, by the way, when we're stressed. This is the refreshing. But look right here, he said, yet they would not hear. This is Isaiah prophesying that centuries down the road, after he's long gone, when this experience finally comes into the earth, that there are going to be religious-minded folks who love Jesus, but they don't receive this experience. He said they would not hear. He's talking about unbelief. That's why so many people don't receive this experience, so many Christian people. They think it's nutty. They think it's flaky. Doesn't make sense to their carnal mind. They want nothing to do with it. And Isaiah said that was going to happen, that some just simply wouldn't want to hear it because of unbelief. But you don't have that problem. You believe in this precious gift. Amen. You see the value of this precious gift. Amen. It's unfortunate that many who truly love Jesus regretfully reject this experience, even as Isaiah prophesied that they would. Amen. Now, what's the big deal about this gift? Well, go over to Romans chapter 8. Amen. Romans chapter 8. It's through this gift that one may commune with God in ways that only God Himself can understand. Through this gift, a human being, this gift of speaking in other tongues, human beings, born again, human... Now, this is a gift only for the born again. You have to be baptized, you have to be saved. Jesus Christ absolutely must be your Lord and Savior in order for the Holy Spirit to come and indwell you and enable you to speak in a heavenly language, in a language that only God can understand. Amen? We need to understand that. This is a gift only for the saved, only for the born again, only for those who have said, Jesus, you're my choice. Jesus, I accept you as Lord and Savior, and I reject all other gods. This is an experience, this supernatural ability to commune with God in a language that you don't understand, but God does, is a gift reserved only for children of God, only for those who have accessed the family of God through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that, don't you? Amen? And through this gift, we can commune with God in ways that only God Himself understands. Where did I ask you to go? Romans chapter 8? Well, that's a good place to be. That's a good place for me to be too. Amen? Let's just look what Paul said right here in Romans 8. 26. Why tongues? Why do we want to pray in other tongues? And why is this gift so precious and so valuable? Well, let's just look right here what Paul told the Romans. Amen. Likewise, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities. That word infirmities actually means inability to pray the way we should. Infirmities. It means inability to pray the way we should. Has anybody in this room ever needed to pray about something, but you just didn't know how? You knew you needed to pray. You knew you needed God's help. You knew you needed God's intervention, but you didn't know where to begin. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He always knows how to pray. He knows all things. We don't know all things. He knows all things. Amen. Paul said, the Spirit helps our inabilities to pray the way that we should. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, or we don't always know how to pray properly. Sometimes we can pray improper prayers. Amen. We mean well. We don't want those prayers answered. Amen. But the Holy Spirit Himself, you see, it says itself, but we know better. The Holy Spirit's not an it. He's a Him. Amen. In John chapter 16, two verses of Scripture, Jesus called Him or He 10 times. Amen. He is not an it. He's a He. The Holy Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Basically, here he's talking about the Holy Spirit praying through us in other tongues, or in an unearthly language, in a heavenly language. Amen? You know these verses of Scripture. You know when the Bible says that the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us, you know that the word intercession means to stand in the gap for someone. Like an attorney stands in the gap for his client between his client and the judge. Amen? And to intercede means to put one hand on a human being and another hand on God and stand in the gap and pray for them. Amen? Well, that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. He puts one hand on us and one hand on God, and He prays through us. He prays out the perfect will of God through us for ourselves or for others, depending, whenever we're praying in other tongues. That's why I always say when the Holy Ghost is doing the praying, those prayers never go unanswered. He knows how to pray with precision every single time. That's what this precious gift does. It prays out the perfect will of God. That's why we walk around praying in tongues for decades. I've gone throughout decades, two and a half, more than 25 years now, on a daily basis. I'll just quietly, throughout the day, in other tongues, silently, keeping my spirit edified, allowing the Holy Spirit to pray out the will of God for me, to pray out things that I'm faced with in the future that I don't even see yet, but He sees because He knows everything, and I'm praying my way through them. I don't even see Him coming, but He sees Him coming. And as I yield my tongue and my spirit to Him, He prays about things that are ahead of me that He sees and I don't. Whew! Look right here. And he that searcheth the heart, that's Jesus, knoweth what is the mind of the Holy Spirit. Knoweth what is the mind of the Holy Spirit, because he, the Holy Spirit, makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Do you see that every time you're praying in other tongues, you're praying according to what? The will of God. He makes intercession always and only according to the perfect will of God. For you, Helen, as you're praying in tongues. For you, Maurice, as you're praying in tongues. That's the Holy Spirit, Josh, praying through you the perfect will of God. Again, that's why I always say, when the Holy Ghost is doing the praying, those prayers never go unanswered. Amen? And then look right here again. And we know, and is a conjunction. It's a connecting word, and it says Paul hasn't changed the subject. He's still talking about praying in other tongues. He said, only when we yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit, praying in other tongues on a regular basis, only then will we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Things just don't go according to God's plan for people who don't bother to pray in tongues every day. Do you see right there, if I may again, just take an added moment with me here. Verse 28, he's coming out of verse 26 and 27, talking about praying in tongues, and he's not changing the subject. That's why the word "and" is there. It's a connecting word, it's a conjunction. It says the subject isn't being changed. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and pray out His will in other tongues on a daily basis, even as you're ironing, and even as you're packing to go on a trip, even as you're in the grocery store, just quietly under your breath, praying in the Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit pray through you. What a precious gift. You're praying out the future. And it's always according to God's perfect will and perfect plan for your life. People who don't do this never get to see the perfect will of God for their lives. That's something to think about, isn't it? Hallelujah. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, if you want to put that in your notes, he said, when we pray in other tongues, we're praying out the mysteries. He called them the mysteries. Mysteries to us, maybe, but not to the Holy Ghost. He knows exactly what he's praying. We're praying through things that are mysterious to us, but not things that are mysterious to him. Amen? Hallelujah. He's already been down the road. We're still traveling. If we'll just pray, He knows just where to take, He knows just where we're going and just how to get us there. But we have to access the perfect will of God by praying in other tongues frequently. That's why Paul said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all, you bunch of nuts, to the Corinthians. He said, basically what he was telling them, you're a bunch of babies, you're staying spiritually immature because you don't pray in tongues every day, you don't build on the Word of God, you build on misappropriation of the gifts. I thank my God that because I pray in tongues more than you do every day, God keeps me from that flaky behavior you're all guilty of and I'm having to correct you for. Amen? It'll keep you on track. It'll keep you on track. You know what else it will do for you? Jude chapter 20 says, Jude only has one chapter, it's verse 20. And ye, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith, praying in other tongues, keeping yourself in the love of God. Let me say it again. Jude chapter 1, verse 20. And ye, beloved, building yourselves up on the most holy faith. How? By praying in other tongues. Keep yourself in the love of God. How? By praying in other tongues. It'll keep your spiritual battery charged. It'll keep you from depression. When depression and sadness and sorrow try to move in, they get no place in your life. The Bible says in Romans 14, 26, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And when anything short of that tries to come into your life through a demonic manifestation of depression, sadness, or sorrow, you need to tell it to go, sadness, depression, go in Jesus' name, and begin immediately to pray in other tongues. And you'll begin to trickle charge your battery. And your joy level will come back up. Your antidepressant level will come back up. Your peace level will come back up. Your righteousness level will come right back up if you'll bother to do it. People who don't pray in tongues every day are like people who just they run a battery down in the car. They never put water in it. When it gets old, they don't replace it. They don't tighten the belts. They don't check the alternator. And they think that thing's going to keep them power in them when it's not. Praying in other tongues is keeping your spiritual battery charged. It'll keep you from depression. It'll keep you from sadness. Even in times of death, I know, I've used it. It'll keep the spirit of grief right off you. Amen? Just in the recent past, both of my parents passed. I was spared being consumed with grief through that, but just praying in tongues right through it. Barbara's sister, her baby sister, just recently went to heaven. We prayed it through in other tongues. Amen? A little sadness comes. We're sad for Barbara's loss, but not for her sister's gain. Amen? She went to heaven for the love of Mike. As did both of my nasty parents, because I led them to the Lord. Even though they were probably my biggest persecutors in life. My greatest enemies were my parents. They just hated me. It was just a demonic manifestation because of the call of God in my life. But glory be to God, God gave me the privilege of leading them to Jesus. Amen. I'll see them again in heaven. They're waiting for me now. They're up there now knowing they blew it. And I'll have the relationship with them then that I wasn't able to have here. But praying in tongues for decades have kept me from grieving about these demonic manifestations through my own loved ones in my life. Amen? And when they finally passed, kept me from grief. Barbara's family members. It'll do amazing things for you. In the time of death and sorrow, when grief would naturally try to move in and take over, grief is a curse of the law. You don't have to submit yourself to the spirit of grief. Tell it to go in Jesus' name and pray in other tongues. Get your battery charged up and you'll come through it just fine. Amen? But you don't have to use this gift just during a crisis. Amen? You can use this every day. Like I said, just to maintain a certain level of joy, the wisdom of God will flow in you and through you if you'll submit yourself to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Listen, hallelujah, we don't have time to go any further with this, but I want to tell you that there are two different, you know, here's what we're going to do by the agency of the Holy Spirit. I know what to do before we close. As we're closing here today, tonight, you just look at these verses of Scripture with me. We'll close with this. Put your finger in 1 Corinthians 14 and 1 Corinthians 12. Amen? There's an operation of this gift that I'm talking about. Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praying in tongues is so vitally important to the believer. But Isaiah said some folks just aren't going to want to hear it, and it's because of unbelief. Amen? It's because of unbelief. We don't have that problem around here, do we? We're believers. Amen? Fish swim. Birds fly. Believers believe. And we believe. We're not unbelievers. We're believers. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory be to God. There's two manifestations of the gift of tongues. One is the one that you have in your private life. Did you put your finger in 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 14? There's one that's for your private life. And then there's one that's for public ministry. Now, everybody can pray in tongues privately. But not everybody can pray in tongues and interpret them publicly. Now, we can all come together and pray in tongues when we worship. We're all praying in tongues when we're worshiping and singing. Broge, sigi, perde. But there is a manifestation of the gift of tongues whereby an individual will stand in a congregation and give a tongue. And they'll either interpret it themselves or somebody else will interpret it. We don't all do that. Amen? We can all speak in tongues in our private prayer life and in our private worship, even in our corporate worship. But we don't all give a tongue in the congregation and interpret it or have somebody else interpret it. There's two manifestations of it, and I'm going to show you that right here in 1 Corinthians 14:5. We're going to just close with this, and we'll learn more about this next week. 1 Corinthians 14:5. Paul said, I would that ye all spoke with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. Are you there? For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Paul said, I would that you all spoke in tongues. Say that with me, please. I would that ye all spoke with tongues. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It's right next door there. We just read that Paul said it's his will, and it's because it's God's will, that everyone speak in tongues. Do we see that? Do we see that? Do we see that? Do we see that? Hallelujah. You over there in 1 Corinthians 12? Look at verse 29. Are all apostles? What's the implied answer?
No.
Everybody in here an apostle?
No.
Are all prophets?
No.
Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? No. Implied answer is no. Have all the gifts of healing? No. Do all speak with tongues? Wait a minute. Paul just said over there in 1 Corinthians 14:5, I would that you all spoke in tongues. We all can speak in tongues, but we all don't have the special manifestation, the gift of tongues, where you give a tongue in a congregation and interpret it or have somebody else interpret it. He's not contradicting himself. Over here, the tongues that he's talking about is the special gift of tongues from the utterance gifts. You notice over here he's listing the gifts of healings, the working of miracles. He's talking about spiritual gifts and manifestation. We can all speak in tongues in our private prayer time. We can come together and worship God in other tongues, but we don't all have the gift where we stand up and give a tongue and interpret it, or somebody else interprets it. Amen? And we're going to be talking about that special gift next time we come together in the interpretation of tongues. Amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Can you see there's two different type of tongues? You notice that sometimes I come up here, I'll give a tongue and I'll interpret it. You'll notice I'm sure in the future I'll give a tongue and Barbara will interpret it. Or she'll give a tongue and I'll interpret it. But everybody doesn't do that. Amen? But everybody can pray in tongues in their own private prayer time, all when we come together to worship God. Amen? Let's stand up. Amen? Glory be to God. And then we'll come together next week. We'll briefly touch on how to interpret both kinds of tongues in the ninth and final lesson of this series. Amen? It will be called the interpretation of tongues. Amen?